What? What? What?
I know how we can run everybody out of Rock Ridge.
How?
We'll kill the firstborn male child in every household.
Too Jewish.
Shalom, and welcome to the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is legendary actor Ed Asner, 7-time Emmy Award winner who's leading the Freedom Seder for Passover next week. We'll also have a visit from our Too Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our Mevina on Israel, Oshrat Barel. Please email your comments to us at TooJewishRadio18@gmail.com or visit us on the web at TooJewishRadio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Too Jewish.
Shalom. A little Too Jewish historical note for you faithful listeners this morning. This marks the Too Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, show number 613, which has certain important implications for the Jewish and probably the entire world. Now, having recorded well over 600 weekly one-hour shows of magnificent Jewish programming is indeed a signal accomplishment, and we are closing in on 12 years of fabulous, cutting-edge Jewish radio. But this number 613 has particular meaning for Jews. Allow me to explain. When you are next asked how many commandments there are in Judaism, be sure not to give the obvious answer, which is 10. It's true that the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai, these two famous tablets of Moses, and they get the most attention. And they are indeed extraordinarily important, representing the most direct revelation of God's word and will in all of human history. But do not be fooled. Those initial Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 statements that begin, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery," and end with, "Do not covet anything that is your neighbor's property," are just the tip of the commandments iceberg. As central as the 10 commandments are, there are actually far, far more mitzvot. Many, many additional commandments in Jewish law and tradition. In fact, there are 613 commandments, sometimes written in Hebrew characters as Taryag Mitzvot. These 613 commandments represent a complex and fairly coherent way to live life. The halacha that traditional Judaism observes is the path of God's will, an intricate and complete way to seek to be holy in our world. Now, these 613 commandments are first mentioned in the 3rd century by Rabbi Simlai, but the most authoritative version of this accounting was prepared by the Rambam, Rabbi Moses Maimonides, in the 12th century. This being a Jewish list, there are various opinions, of course, on which mitzvot made the cut, which ones are not part of the perfect 613. According to tradition, there are 248 positive commandments, things we're supposed to do, like remembering the Exodus from Egypt, which corresponds to the number of bones and major organs in the human body. And there are 365 negative commandments, things we are not supposed to do, corresponding to the days of the year. There are varieties of complex traditions surrounding the exact count of the commandments, but somehow 613 has become the standard measure. Which means this, being the 613th show of Too Jewish, has great mystical and halachic importance in Judaism. Frankly, I think it's pretty clear that in addition to these 613 commandments, there really is a 614th commandment in Judaism. No, it's not to write your own Sefer Torah, as some people think. It's not even that the 614th commandment is to become a doctor or to compel your child to become a doctor. No, the 614th commandment of Judaism is to listen to the Too Jewish Radio Show every week. That's right. The mere act of experiencing Too Jewish is now regarded in Jewish circles as the next great mitzvah. Now that we have proven that God actually made it a requirement for you, aren't you glad you're listening to the 613th Too Jewish show this morning and fulfilling that commandment? Well, in other news, Passover is definitely one of the 613 commandments on everybody's list. In fact, on Maimonides' list of commandments, there are actually 9 that are related to Pesach, which begins tomorrow night, Monday, April 14th, just before your taxes are due, by the way. And Passover is a wonderful holiday. At my own Temple Emmanuel, we'll be celebrating a new kind of Seder, a Freedom Seder, led by our two Jewish guests this morning, Ed Asner, co-sponsored with Humane Borders, dedicated to saving lives in the desert. You can find out more about that Freedom Seder, which is April 21st, by calling Temple Emmanuel 520-327-4501 or going to Emmanuel's website, templeemmanueltucson.org, to register for it. Again, that's 520-327-4501 to attend the Freedom Seder with Ed Asner. Passover, the great festival of freedom, is the single best observed Jewish festival of the whole year, edging out Hanukkah. Nearly three-quarters of all American Jews will attend a Passover Seder of some kind tomorrow night, and within the Seder there are many lovely and wonderful interpretations on how to express freedom in prayer, story, ritual, food, and song. Pesach is both the most Jewish of holidays and the most universal. It's such a Jewish event because, more than any other in our people's lives, it focuses on the two most important elements for most Jews, food and education. The Seder is ritual food turned into profound pedagogy, but it is also the complex joy of joining extended family and friends in a meal in which every part plays a critical role. What could possibly be more Jewish than finding powerful historical meaning in each bite of food, each sip of wine or juice? Teaching through food. Nothing is more Jewish. Now, while most of the menu and the main symbols and structure of the Pesach experience are the same from year to year, after all, Seder means order, so we don't vary it much, the actual ways we explore each of the elements of the Haggadah, the book that tells the Passover story that we use, are open to interpretation, addition, and reflection. And, of course, good music at the Seder really helps. One of the consistent highlights of our unique two-Jewish blend of entertainment, education, controversy, humor, and news, this kind of Jewish radio charoset, if you will, a mix of delectable elements that is so much more than the sum of its various excellent parts, anyway, has always been Jewish music of any and all kinds. In that spirit, and the spirit of the Passover season, we continue our pre-Pesach preview of Passover music with the wonderful Sephardic version of the Pesach Seder song, Who Knows One, Echad Mi Yodea, sung by the Sephardic Israeli star Yehoram Gaon.
Quien supiense y entendiense alabar al Dios creyense, cuál es el uno, cuál es el uno. Uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Quien supiense y entendiense alabar al Dios creyense, cuál son los dos, cuál son los dos. Dos Moshe y Aaron, uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Quien supiense y entendiense alabar al Dios creyense, cuáles son los tres, cuáles son los tres. Tres nuestros padres son, dos Moshe y Aarón, uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Quien supiense y entendiense alabar al Dios creyense, cuáles son los cuatro, cuáles son los cuatro. Cuatro madres de Israel, tres nuestros padres son, dos Moshe y Aarón, uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Quien supiense y entendiense alabar al Dios creyense, cuáles son los cinco, cuáles son los cinco. Cinco libros de la ley, cuatro madres de Israel, tres nuestros padres son, dos Moshe y Aarón, uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Quien supiense y entendiense alabar al Dios creyense, cuáles son los seis, cuáles son los seis. Seis días de la semana, cinco libros de la ley, cuatro madres de Israel, tres nuestros padres son, dos de Moshe y Aarón, uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
supiense y entendiense, alabar al Dios creyense. ¿Cuáles son los siete? ¿Cuáles son los siete? Siete días con el Shabbat, seis días de la semana, cinco libros de la ley, cuatro madres de Israel, tres nuestros padres son, dos Moshe y Aarón, uno es el Criador, uno es el Criador, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
That was Yehoram Gaon, the Israeli Sephardic star, singing Who Knows One for the end of the Pesach Seder on our 613th Two Jewish Radio Show. Yehoram Gaon became famous in the movie Casablanca way back in 1974, my bar mitzvah year, a mere 40 years ago. Ouch. Anyway, in the spirit of this Passover holiday that is both profoundly serious, what could be more powerful than celebrating freedom from oppression and praying for the liberation of all who are enslaved? But it's also fun and sometimes silly. Here's a new parody of the Disney Oscar-winning song from Frozen called Chosen by an a cappella group called appropriately, get this, 613, It's All About Passover.
The Nile ran fast through the desert that night, but the water, it was red. The kingdom was full of locusts, with frogs jumping in their beds. The Jews were slaving, building Ramses and Pito. Moses said, it's time to say Shalom. Pharaoh said, no, don't set them free. He was a bad guy who brought us misery. But God's strong hand began to show. And thus said Moses, let him go, let him go, or I'll plague Egypt some more. Let him go, Pharaoh, say the word and we're out the door. This nightmare, it needs to end today. Let our tribe march on. We won't let the water stand in our way. Do you want some afikoman? It's just unleavened bread. Those four questions that I asked before, I have one more. Can I have cake instead?
Cake instead.
We once were slaves in Egypt, and now we're not. So that's why we don't eat right.
That's why we don't eat right.
Pumpernickel or bagels or challah or muffins or donuts or pancakes? Do you want some afikoman? You can feel free to say no, man. How about pride?
God took us out to die anew. When we got to the sea, we walked right through. There was no time for bread to rise. This very day.
That was the Jewish a cappella group 613 parodying Frozen for Pesach called Chosen beginning tomorrow night. When we return this morning on Two Jewish, we'll meet our very special guest, the outstanding actor Ed Asner, a Jewish guy from the Midwest who was far from an overnight sensation in show business, but went on to win 7 Emmy Awards and be nominated for more than 20 Emmys for acting excellence on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Lou Grant, and many, many other roles. He'll be hosting the Freedom Seder in 8 days. Ed Asner will join us in a few minutes right here on Two Jewish.
I was 15 when I started my first business, and I never looked back. When it came time for college, I looked for a university that would foster my entrepreneurial spirit and that also had a sense of community. ASU's W.P. Carey School of Business ranks among the best in the nation, and the several Jewish organizations on campus make it easy for ASU to become a home away from home. At ASU, I'm upholding the traditions of my family while pursuing my dreams, and as CEO of Simple, I'm well on my way. I'm Arthur Steingart, and I'm a Sun Devil. ASU. Dream it. Do it. Visit asu.edu.
Parents in Tucson have many choices on where to send their children to school. Consider the best. Consider Tucson Hebrew Academy. Now is the time to secure your spot for the upcoming school year. With a beautiful Foothills K-8 campus and award-winning academics, you owe it to your children to visit THA, Tucson Hebrew Academy, and see what they have to offer. Your child belongs at THA. THA delivers. Low student-teacher ratio supports successful, rigorous academics, and they don't stop there. With an emphasis on the arts, science, and music, THA students learn the Hebrew language and are taught Jewish values along with a rigorous academic curriculum. Your child deserves the best. Call 529-3888 to schedule your tour of THA. Financial aid is available. Don't wait. Space is limited. That's 529-3888 or visit www.thaaz.org. I'm delighted to welcome to Two Jewish our very special guest this morning. He's actor, acting legend, Ed Asner. The most nominated man to have received Emmys in television history, but that doesn't in any way encompass the totality of his performing career. And he was also, this is a very nostalgic moment for me, the guest on our first anniversary of Two Jewish. We're now celebrating our 11th year. Good morning and welcome, Mr. Asner.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Rabbi.
Good to have you back. When we spoke more than a decade ago, you talked a little bit about how Judaism influenced your focus on activism. Tell us a little bit about how that plays into the whole festival of Passover and the concept of freedom.
Well, the whole idea of Passover and the concept of freedom is it's all dramatic. It makes the Seder very exciting to recite the tale of the Jewish slaves, to realize, if one works hard at it, that the Jews were still a people in formation at the time, and there were many outsiders included in that slavery proposition. Supposedly, God gave us the 40 years in the desert to form us into one people. Whatever, 40 years in the desert, I would think, would do a lot in shaping us into a similar kind of animal. So anyway, what came out of it was a warlike, conquering group of people who took back the land of Canaan and started the first Jewish state. It's, what can I say? It's rife with drama. So I think we love Seders, first of all, because of the familial aspect to it, and we get to sit down. We get to eat all kinds of good, rich food. And we, I can remember my older brother and a hulk of a cousin who used to have contests to see who could eat more of my mother's latkes. So when you have such activity going on with religion, it has to be a prized activity.
Who's your favorite character in the Passover story? I mean, you know, for me it's Moses, but I don't know if he's the most interesting character.
I've never thought of it in those terms. That's an interesting question. Those angels bringing the various gory devise to the Egyptians, they certainly would be dramatic characters to play. But I won't deal with them because there is no permanency to them. We can't stunt Aaron, who, because Moses stuttered, spoke for Aaron, for spoke for Moses to the Pharaoh. So, and I believe in verbosity and in volubility. So naturally, I would want to play Aaron. Since why would I want to play a stutterer?
That's a tough job. You might get an Academy Award for it, but a very challenging role. We will talk much more with actor-performer Ed Asner when we come back on Too Jewish and hear about and talk more about Passover and the Seder.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
We welcome Pam and David of Freedom Smoke. So your product, a smokeless way to get off of tobacco, people don't really understand exactly what's wrong with cigarettes, or they think it's the same thing that's wrong with your product. Can you explain the difference?
That's true, Rabbi Kohan. Part of it is the cigarettes themselves, the FDA made them release the ingredients. There's over 3,000 ingredients in cigarettes. There's four ingredients in electronic cigarettes. Propylene glycol, vegetable glycerine, flavorings from FlavorArt in Italy, who is who we use, and nicotine itself. Our nicotine is USP hospital grade. It's the finest that you can purchase. Nicotine in and of itself is not harmful to the human body. That's why we have so many doctors referring patients that they just cannot get to quit smoking cigarettes. They send them to us for a much healthier alternative.
And where do people go and how do they find your stuff?
They can go to one of our three stores here in Tucson. We've got one at Orange Grove and River, one at Broadway and Swan, and one at 12th and Valencia. Or they can go online to freedomsmokeusa.com.
Thanks very much, and we'll talk next week.
Always a pleasure.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or kvel, please email us at 2JewishRadio18@gmail.com or visit our website at 2JewishRadio.com. You can stream all past and present shows through the website or download us. The Apple iTunes Store is very popular Jewish podcasts. Temple Emmanuel Pilgrimage Trip to Israel with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, is going June 11th to June 23rd, 2014. If you want to come on this fabulous journey to Israel, seeing it all from Tel Aviv to Haifa to Tzfat to the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem and Masada, please email 2JewishRadio18@gmail.com or call 520-327-4501 for more information on how to sign up. Passover music can be lots of fun, and nowadays it's sometimes completely ridiculous. Here's a new and very, very funny cut of terribly revisionist Jewish history, totally fouled up for the history feast tomorrow night. It's called They Tried to Kill Us, We Survived, Let's Eat, from Jumungus, also known as Sean Altman.
We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. The year was 1492. Just invaded Poland. Madonna had just become a Jew. Moses was found on the Potomac. Then he marched with Martin Luther King. He came back to free us from our bondage, 'cause S&M has never been our thing. They tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat. They tried to kill us, we were faster on our feet. So they chase us to the border, there's a parting of the water. Tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat. Then the Pharaoh, who looked like Yul Brynner, heard the Jews were trying to escape. Charlton Heston came right down from the mountain. He said, Pharaoh, you're a damn dirty ape. The menorah was almost out of oil. Farrakhan was planning Kristallnacht. The gefilte was nearing extinction. It looked like Moses and his flock were verkocht. They tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat. They tried to kill us, we were faster on our feet. But we knew how to resist, 'cause we rented Schindler's List. Tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat.
That was some of Sean Altman's hilarious They Tried to Kill Us, We Survived, Let's Eat. Don't get your history from him, obviously. Our Jewish Poetry Slam this morning in honor of the coming Festival of Passover comes from poet Marge Piercy, three-time guest of Too Jewish, by the way. It's her evocative poem, Matzah, perhaps the best of her Passover cycle. Flat you are as a doormat and as homely. No crust, no glaze, you lack a cosmetic glow. You break with a snap. You're dry as a twig split from an oak in midwinter. You're bumpy as a mud basin in drought. Square as a slab of pavement, you have no inside to hide raisins or seeds. You are pale as the full moon, pocked with craters. What we see is what we get. Honest, plain, dry, shining with nostalgia as if baked with light instead of heat. The bread of flight and haste. In the mouth, you promise home. That was the poem Matzah by Marge Piercy for the Pesach Seder table. First Seder is tomorrow night, Monday, April 14th. And now it's time for a recurring, inscrutably irregular feature of Too Jewish, the wisdom of Zen Judaism for Passover. Contemplate the perfect sphere, round, whole, complete, your own mother's matzah ball. That was Eternal Wisdom from Zen Judaism for the coming Festival of Passover tomorrow night. We welcome our Mivina and Israel Oshrat Barel, head of the Weintraub Israel Center. Boker Tov Oshrat and Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Pesach is almost here. Wonderful time of year. Busy, ridiculously busy time of year. Tell us a little bit about what Pesach is like, what Passover is like in Eretz Yisrael and the Holy Land of Israel.
Okay, so I'll start with a funny story, and the joke is on my expense, so I hope it's okay.
Okay.
So in my hometown, how do you know, and I'll ask a question, how do you know it's that Pesach is around the corner? And when I'm saying around the corner, it's immediately after Purim.
Right.
When you smell bleach in the air, which means in Israel we'll call it ekonomika. Yeah, and you will smell it all around, and you will go to your friend, and you will see all that, you know, chairs on the table, and you cannot use this part because his mother already cleaned it for Pesach. So for 3 weeks, you can't use the table, you can't use many places in the house.
Absolutely.
So I don't think you can miss Pesach.
Very hard to miss. Yeah. You know, it's funny when you said when you can smell, I was thinking when you can smell chametz burning, but in truth, that's only like the day before. That barely counts.
Yeah.
I do remember the experience in living in Pesach in Jerusalem, being there for Pesach, and seeing the fires on every corner where people were burning their leftover leavening, bread, what we call chametz. Mm-hmm. Was that true where you were growing up too?
Yeah, it's the same morning. You need to, you know, burn it until 10 a.m. the same, you know, morning. So you'll see a lot of kids outside doing kind of Lag BaOmer.
Right.
In Erev
Pesach. Like a little bonfire. Like,
yeah, some potatoes next to the chametz, and very...
Getting ready for their last lunch before Seder.
Yeah.
Pesach is also a week off for Israelis, right? Mm-hmm. They don't work.
It's not here?
No.
Oh, my God.
Only for Jewish day schools. Otherwise, first day, last day, maybe first 2 days, last 2 days. Otherwise,
so
you
I'm
go
working.
To work. Yes.
Okay.
You're working, I'm sorry to tell you. And if your kids went to public school here, they would have to bring lunch for Pesach, which is always an adventure for Jewish kids because you can't, so many things you can't bring. You can't bring sandwiches. You can't bring peanut butter if you're Ashkenazic. What do you do? So is Pesach in Israel, do families eat all their meals together? Restaurants are closed mostly, no?
First, in Pesach, in terms of school and vacation, it's at least week and a half before Pesach and all the week during Pesach. Like, it's really good to be teacher in Israel. In terms of meals, of course, Seder, we have only one night.
One Seder, right, one night, not two.
And it's usually, you know, there is a beautiful Israeli movie called Leil HaSeder, who tell all the story of, you know, what Leil HaSeder can bring,
Seder.
Can do to a family, can break it. But anyway, for another talk show, another show, another Yeah.
Another two Jewish episode.
Yeah. So, and during the whole week, because there is no bread, you know, there is no... So usually in Israel, it will be the week of barbecue. You will eat barbecue for breakfast.
Doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. We are not suffering.
No, not at all. And I will tell you, you know, when you have to be creative, sometimes the food is actually better and not necessarily a great suffering over Passover. Chag Sameach
v'kasher. V'kasher.
When we come back on Two Jewish, we'll hear from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and get the old Jewish joke of the week.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
You can help send kids to our community's Jewish schools without it costing you a dime. Direct your state tax dollars instead to JETCO, the Jewish Education Tax Credit Organization. The state allows its taxpayers to receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit, not just a deduction, for payments made to recognized school tuition organizations, who then provide scholarships for kids in kindergarten through 12th grade who go to qualified private schools. JETCO provides quality Jewish education to children in need at Temple Emmanuel Kindergarten, Congregation Anshe Israel Kindergarten, Tucson JCC Kindergarten, and the Tucson Hebrew Academy. If you pay Arizona state income taxes, make your contribution to JETCO, you'll receive 100% tax credit on your state income tax return. Tax credit, not a deduction. There's an additional tax credit, the switcher credit, this year. You can go up to $1,031 to JETCO for a single filer, $2,062 for married couples filing jointly. When we need every dollar we can for Jewish education, this is the time to make a contribution to JETCO. Do so by calling 647-8442, that's 647-8442, or visit JETCO on the web, jetco.org. Give the gift of education. We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom, and Chag Sameach.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Happy Passover. Pesach is the holiday of immigration, if you think about it. The whole Jewish people getting up and leaving Egypt, crossing borders. Here in southern Arizona, we live very close to the Mexican border. Immigration has been a Jewish issue forever, maybe going back to Moses, certainly for us wandering Jews for a long time. Let's talk a little bit about international issues involved with borders and border crossing.
Well, we were speaking a little bit before off air about a not-for-profit organization that I just recently discovered, but it's been around for a while, called Missing Migrants, which concerns itself with identifying the remains of those unfortunates who actually die in the desert and often don't have documents. So it takes some work and some hard research to figure out who they are, and then notifying the families so that the families in Mexico can reclaim whatever's left of their relatives. And, you know, it's just one of many issues. It is our closest international border, obviously. It's less than an hour away by car. And it is a border with which lots of people attempt to cross illegally. And there are all sorts of moral, ethical, political questions, and even legal questions involved. I mean, for one thing, several states have tried to pass legislation about this issue, forgetting that control over who enters and leaves the U.S. is expressly reserved to the federal government,
of course,
right, by the Constitution. And the Constitution says anything not expressly assigned to the federal government is the responsibility of the states. But this is assigned to the federal government, and so states really have no business trying to legislate anything about this issue. That being said, one of the things that often bothers me is when actual friends of mine and acquaintances who work for Border Patrol or other government agencies refer to border crossers,
migrants,
as aliens. And they the mere terminology dehumanizes them. It's as if they've come from another planet, as if they're green men with three ears. They're human beings. And an essential part of Jewish faith is that we're all created B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God, and we are all not only fully human, but also a little bit divine. And the fact that you cross a border without proper documentation doesn't make you any less human or any less divine. And I think people, unfortunately, very often overlook that.
You know, a particularly important issue to think about at this time of year, when we remember the first time we were all migrants and left Egypt en masse. We talk some more about that whole concept. By the way, the Hebrew word ger means both stranger, and it's sometimes translated as alien. So it's a complicated idea, but an important one, particularly at this season.
Right. Or, I mean, it's also a sometimes foreigner and sometimes non-Jew.
That's correct.
I mean, it has a lot of different meanings, that very two-letter word.
Kind of like the way we still struggle with these issues.
Right.
Tom, a good Pesach, a Zisen Pesach.
Thank you. Same to you.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week, Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a Public Service. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, there lived a king who had a Jewish advisor. That king relied so much on the wisdom of his advisor that one day he decided to elevate him to head advisor. After it was announced, the other advisors objected. After all, it was bad enough, they complained, just to sit in council with a Jew, but to allow one to be over them was just too much to bear. Being a compassionate and thoughtful ruler, the king agreed and ordered the Jew to convert. Well, what could the Jewish advisor do? One had to obey the king, and so he did. Soon as the act was done, the Jew felt great remorse for this terrible decision. The days became weeks, and his remorse turned to despondency. Months passed. His mental depression took a toll on his physical health. He became weaker and weaker. Finally, the Jew could stand it no longer. His mind was made up. He burst in on the king and cried, "I was born a Jew, and a Jew I must be. Do what you want with me, but I can no longer deny my faith." The king was shocked. He had no idea the Jew felt so strongly about religion. "Well, if that's how you feel," he said, "the other advisors will just have to learn to live with it. Your counsel is much too important for me to do without it. Go and become a Jew again," the king said. The Jew was elated. He rushed home to tell the good news to his family. He felt the strength surge back into his body. Finally, he burst into the house and called out to his wife, "Rivka, Rivka, we can be Jews again. We can be Jews again." His wife glared back at him angrily and said, "You couldn't wait until after Pesach?" That was the old Jewish joke of the week, a special feature of Too Jewish just for you. You should live and be well. You see, Passover, all the preparations, all the work, all the cooking, and oh, never mind. And now a word of Torah. This week's Torah portions are chosen especially to be read on the holiday of Passover. In addition to the usual suspects for Torah reading on Pesach, the plagues, the Passover sacrifice, the crossing of the Sea of Reeds, the washing away of the Egyptian army and its chariots, there is one unusual special Torah reading. We'll chant it this coming Saturday. It's from the portion of Ki Tisa in Exodus, and it includes one of the more mystical and puzzling sections of the whole Torah. Moses asks that God's presence be revealed to him directly, and God replies, "You shall not see my face and live." You shall not see my face and live. The power and presence of the divine is too much for even the greatest of our ancestors to be allowed to fully encounter it. God invites, well, commands, Moses to hide his own face in the cleft of a rock, and then God allows the divine presence to pass behind Moses. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, our great teacher Moses, who supposedly knows God panim el panim, face to face, the Torah says, in truth actually only gets the back of God. Well, that's not to imply that God, well, moons Moses. Although we are created B'Tselem Elohim in the image of God, we don't tend to think that we are somehow subject only to the flippancy of God. No, this curious passage teaches a lesson. We are not going to be saved by gazing at God's face, by the direct experience of God's intent. Our way is more complex, more subtle, more challenging, and more honest and beautiful. We have the responsibility to seek God's presence in the world, to find the God traces that are present everywhere, if we can make ourselves aware enough to look for them. Then we can truly see God's face by looking in the faces of our fellow human beings. No man has won as many Emmy Awards as our guest this morning here on Too Jewish, the remarkable actor and activist Ed Asner, who will be celebrating a Freedom Seder with me next week on the last night of Passover, April 21st. Find out which character he would most like to play in the Exodus story when we return on Too Jewish.
Safety. It's a word we take for granted at home and at the workplace, but sometimes safety isn't a sure thing. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is an environmental remediation company that's been promoting safe living in Arizona since 1989. Environmental Strategies specializes in asbestos and lead abatement, mold remediation, and industrial cleaning. In addition, they have a building and remodeling division that makes it convenient for clients to get all their services from one contractor. Environmental Strategies jobs range from seam tape removal in a single-family home to insulation removal in a Challenger Learjet aircraft and everything in between. So, if you're in need of asbestos or lead removal, mold remediation, industrial cleaning, or top-notch general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies today at 884-1114. Estimates and bids are free and confidential. Ken Goodman is the president, and he'd love to talk with you about your project. Environmental Strategies, serving all of Arizona since 1989. Call 884-1114. We continue with our Two Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
The largest Seder in the entire world is being held tomorrow night in Kathmandu, Nepal. Allow me to explain. In the year or two after they complete their army service in the IDF and before they start college, young Israelis love to go on a long exploratory journey, backpacking through South America or India or Thailand or anywhere that sounds interesting and exciting and has the additional advantage of being inexpensive and perhaps fun. Nepal, high in the Himalayas, fits the bill. About 10,000 Israelis visit Nepal each year, and they travel in groups, often for months at a time, a kind of close-knit moving community. Israeli influence is apparent in Nepal. There are restaurants that serve hummus and falafel alongside rice and dal, and you can hear Hebrew commonly spoken in most tourist areas. But what to do when Pesach comes around and you are many thousands of miles from home? Well, obviously, you should attend a Seder. And so in Kathmandu, well over 1,000 Israelis are expected at the annual Chabad Seder there, celebrating Pesach with true Israeli spirit. Each year, a container ship of kosher for Passover supplies departs Israel a few months before Pesach. It travels through the Suez Canal, sails around Sri Lanka, and arrives in the ports of Kolkata, India. From India, the goods are trucked to Nepal, God willing. And tomorrow night, somewhere around 1,100 mostly young Israeli Jews, plus some expatriate Jews from all around the world, will celebrate Passover in Kathmandu. There are two other large seders in Nepal, by the way, for trekkers in other parts of the country. One is in Pokhara, a popular city for tourists and trekkers at the base of the Annapurna Circuit. The other Seder is in Menang, up in the Annapurna Circuit itself, 10,000 feet high in the Himalayas. Boxes of matzah, wine, and other provisions will be helicoptered to trekkers from Kathmandu. Now, if they can celebrate Pesach in Nepal, so far from anywhere, how much more must we Jews join together in easier places for a true Passover experience? In other news, over 1,000 diaspora rabbis have appealed to Jerusalem Mayor Nir Barkat not to appoint Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu as the capital's chief Sephardic rabbi, citing his history of anti-Arab remarks and rulings. Reports are that Barkat is leaning towards Eliyahu for the appointment, which is being fought over by Jerusalem's Orthodox Jewish powers. prominent among the rabbis signing the letters were Reform Rabbi Rick Jacobs, a past guest of Two Jewish, Conservative Rabbi Julie Schoenfeld, Liberal Orthodox Rabbi Asher Lopatin, another past guest of Two Jewish, Reconstructionist Rabbi Deborah Waxman, and Rabbi Brian Lurie, president of the New Israel Fund, among many others. The letter notes that Eliyahu, the chief rabbi of Tzfat, made a halachic ruling barring Jews from renting apartments to Arabs, opposed military service for women, characterized Arabs and Muslims in racist and humiliating terms, while the attorney general says his candidacy for Sephardic chief rabbi is inappropriate. The rabbis told Barkat that appointing Eliyahu to the post would send a message of divisiveness and intolerance from Jerusalem. In recent years, Eliyahu sought to keep Arabs from moving into Tzfat, whose local college has some 1,500 Arab students. He said that selling or renting homes to Arabs is prohibited by Jewish law. On one occasion, he was quoted saying, "The Arab society has an agenda. They want to Islamicize the world. Arab society is generally, and without generalizations, a violent society." Oof. Eliyahu also came out against young women serving in the Israeli army, saying it puts them into inappropriate situations that harm their faith, emotions, and often, sadly, their bodies. In addition to the rabbinic resistance to the potential appointment, the Israeli attorney general has spoken against Eliyahu for his racist record. Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu's late father Mordechai was chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel and later a spiritual leader to many extremist settler youth, delivering the eulogy at Meir Kahani's funeral. Finally, to no one's surprise, the John Kerry-led peace and settlement talks between Israel and the Palestinians finally appear to be foundering. Actually, I think they got much further along than anyone really expected they would. The blame for their current state of non-progress falls pretty equally on the Palestinians' hesitant and foolish leadership, and on Bibi Netanyahu's intransigence on issues relating to settlements, among other items, mostly because of his own political agenda. Perhaps when Elijah visits our satyrs tomorrow night, he can bring with him a new peace initiative that will be accomplished prior to the arrival of the Messiah, God willing. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews around the world. We are delighted to welcome back to Two Jewish our guest this morning, actor Ed Asner. He was nominated for more Emmys than anyone in history, has performed on stage, screen, television, really every medium you can think of, in a tremendous acting career spanning decades and decades. What's the favorite role that you've had that you've ever played? Could you choose one?
Oh, I love playing Axel Jordash in Rich Man, Poor Man.
Hmm.
I love Lou Grant, even because 12 years of my life, for God's sake.
Almost a bar mitzvah length experience.
Yeah. I never reached the 13th year, unfortunately. I had a lovely time playing Grace on Broadway last year.
Immigration and migration is in many ways at the soul of the Jewish experience. We were obviously as a nation wandering Jews in the Passover. We've been wandering Jews at many times throughout history. Does that give us a better ability to connect with migrants and with those who are refugees wherever they are in the world?
I don't think we've done anything for the Palestinian refugees.
No, it's probably true.
And I don't think we're going to be doing much for the Syrian refugees. So, and that will directly affect Israel. When you have Muslim malcontents surrounding you like that, Hezbollah, which is made up of Palestinian malcontents and refugees, is Israel's biggest thorn in her side, no matter what anyone else was saying. So all you're doing is building up more Hezbollahs. And I would hate to see the baby that comes forth from this union.
Is it difficult for you to play a role of someone with really antithetical values to you, or is it a challenge, or is it easy?
Not at all. You get to play the ugly. The people and person type that you despise, and you can put all the warts you want on him. And if your other people recognize the warts, so it's your way to enlist aid against the ugly.
In the Haggadah, we're taught that there's four different kinds of sons, four sons or four children, wicked, you know, good, wicked, simple, and she'eno yodei lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask. One interpretation says that those are actually different aspects that we find within ourselves. Do you agree with that? And when you're performing a role, do you have to find that aspect in yourself to demonstrate it?
I find it in myself in my daily life. I think one of the biggest hang-ups I have is not knowing how to ask. We wage war with ourselves about, should I say something? Shouldn't I say something? Should I ask? Shouldn't I ask? It never comes easy.
The totally different area. What would Lou Grant say about a newsroom filled with people tweeting and putting stuff up on Instagram and publishing stuff instantly without any editorial control?
My friend, I don't use a computer. I am so backward in all of the electronic marvels that surround us. I had an assistant for 14 years. That's about 40 years ago. And she was fantastic. And she would whiz through that computer and achieve everything I needed. But she could never divorce herself from the computer. And I said, well, I'm never going to let that happen to me. So I'm not going to learn the computer. And if I need it, I'll hire somebody to run it for me. But I don't want to sleep with that computer. And so I have not kept up at all with any of the electronic marvels that have come along since then.
Imagine you might have made something of yourself if you'd gotten him focused on the computer more. You might have had some success in life.
I could have put my requests via email, and they would never have noticed the insecurity I had in typing it.
One more question about Pesach and Passover. The focus in our particular Seder is about redeeming lives, saving endangered lives.
There are a number of them out there.
Quite a few. Lose about 180 people a year in the desert not far from where we live. The Jewish, highest Jewish value is pekuach nefesh, saving lives, protecting those endangered. It's almost nothing you can't do to do that. In your experience, how can people help? How do people make a difference in that?
I would say you're doing it the right way. You're doing it on a smaller scale than the world need. You're dealing with your Arizona desert. And it's called taking care of business at home. And if you do that well, you'll be doing the Lord's work.
I want to thank Ed Asner for a great visit here on Too Jewish. The Freedom Seder, which he will be leading at Temple Emmanuel, is coming up on April 21st. You can call 520-327-4501 or go to templeemmanueltucson.org for more information on the Freedom Seder. Mr. Asner, thank you for a great visit. Looking forward to having you here.
I can't wait to break matzah with you.
Sounds good. Chag Sameach, a happy Passover.
Thank you. You too, and to your wife.
Thank you. When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear about next week's guest get a final musical play out.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Our guest will be Rabbi Simcha Weintraub, the Rabbinic Director of the National Center for Health and Healing. Our playout this morning comes for the holiday of Passover. Of course, it's the classic Pesach Seder song, Dayenu, this time in a bluegrass version from Mama Dani. My friends, have a Chag Pesach Sameach V'Kasher, a good and healthy holiday of Passover, and a Shavua Tov, a good week and a week, we pray, of peace.